The 11 o'clock hour of Woolley and Tausch
begins now. And it begins where I said it would. And we'll play trivia next.
But, Brian, I don't want to make it sound like the cupboard is bare, because it obviously isn't. You traded for Micah Blanken Parsons. Xavier McKinney is a two-time All-Pro. Javon Bullard and Evan Williams are studs. Edgerrin Cooper, and I'm curious how Jonathan Gannon will deploy him and how it'll work if Quay Walker's not back. But he's a stud. We've seen that. We didn't see as many splash plays. I'd be curious how you evaluated him when you watched the film this season. But look, there are very good players, but there's also some holes. And I think we went into the season thinking, after Kenny was traded, which again, I don't want to romanticize Kenny, right? He was starting to get closer to the end than he was to the beginning, obviously. But they were thin on the defensive, interior defensive line, and they were thin at corner. And guess what? They finished the season thin on the interior of the defensive line and thin at corner, and it hurt them, frankly. So when you look at the defensive personnel, what makes you feel good, what causes you concern, and what are kind of the unknowns in your mind of what Jonathan Gannon's going to have to work with?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a mixed bag on the defensive side with personnel, right? Like, you could say the same for offense, too. You could say the same for offense, too, in some...
You mean because we don't know who 60% of the offensive line starters will be for starters?
Yeah, like that, just like that. I think the area with the biggest concern is corner. I think that, to me, is the biggest concern. And then second up is interior D-line, because we saw how thin that got at the end of the year, right? Like, we literally watched it happen from when Wyatt got hurt in Detroit till the end of the year. We saw how it kind of thinned out, and teams ran the ball successfully on us, right? And that was always going to be the big question. Obviously, why it comes back and things like that. But you need other interior guys, right? You need certain body types and players and more depth in that area. And then at DB, I feel the exact same. You know, they spent a lot of money in the offseason on Hobbs. That obviously didn't really pan out the way that they thought it was going to pan out. Injuries are not the highest end performances and things like that. So to me, those are the two big questions. Obviously, I feel good. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen with Quay, but I feel good about Cooper being there. And you know, I think he's a very good young quality player.
Like, do you have an opinion on Hopper yet?
Not really. I just don't think there's enough time. You know what I mean? Like, you look
Agreed.
At the guys that there's just not enough time to have that opinion. And you look at the guys that were out there majority of the time, he wasn't really one of them. You know, like, he just wasn't. It'd always be Quay, McDuffie, and Cooper. Like, those were the guys that you saw most of the time. So that's another. But listen, I'm not saying that there's not potential, right? I'm not saying that. But, like, you just don't have enough evidence to, like, feel great or feel bad about the situation. We'll just
Agreed.
Leave it at
yep.
that. Feel really, obviously, great about the safeties. We have more safeties than we know what to do with, and they're all very good. I mean, that's a positive thing. And then I guess the last part is edge rusher. And I say this because you said it. We have Micah Parsons. And, like, that automatically makes you in a good category at that position. Albeit coming back from a surgery that he's going to need time. You don't know the exact return date of that's, you know, of him. So, like, that makes it a question. Obviously, you have Van Ness. Rashawn Gary, you don't know what's exactly going to happen in the offseason with that. I think if you were going to take a guess, they probably will move on. If I was a betting man, so that leaves a lot of questions there too. Because if you don't bring back Enagbare, there's another high production guy that produced a lot this year on defense at that position. He's gone. So you start the season essentially with Van Ness, the only guy that played a lot. He was hurt a lot too. So so you start the season out, which if I had to take a guess, we'll probably start the season out with Chicago or Detroit on the road. I'm just going to take a wild stab at it. I'm just – because I know how these things work. Mm-hmm. That'll be like Sunday night football to open the season against Detroit or Chicago. Yeah, it's like it always happens. So you go into one of these giant games to start the season with who rushing the passer and who's your interior players on that D-line. And to me, those are the concerns that I have on that side of the ball. Listen, you could have hired Bill Belichick as the D coordinator, and he still has to figure that out. How am I gonna scheme this thing up? Like, what am I going to do? And to me, like, Gannon's going to have his hands full figuring out those components, you know, the D-line and then the outside guys of how am I going to get the most out of what I have. And obviously, it's up to Goody to restock that pantry, man, because it needs to happen. And with not a lot of picks and the cap space obviously probably isn't fantastic, you got to find a way some way somehow, and that'll be fun to watch this offseason.
Since you brought it up and since you are a offensive lineman at heart still, let's talk a little bit briefly about this, and I'm sure, you know, if we can twist your arm to come back on Wednesday when Tausch is here, we'll talk about it then too. But you said there's question marks on the offense personnel wise too, right? You're going to get Tucker Kraft back. He said that he thinks it'll probably be a similar timeline for training camp as it was when he was coming back from the torn pec. Obviously, this is a more serious injury, but, you know, start out on PUP, then start practicing, be ready for the opener like he was with the torn pec. But from a bigger picture perspective, you know, you're probably not going to pay Romeo Doubs, but you still got a lot of wide receivers. And you've got Matthew Golden, who, you know, showed what he was capable of in the playoff game. You know, you still have Luke Musgrave at tight end, which he did not live up to the hype to this point, that's for sure. But I'm not saying they're going to move on from Josh Jacobs. But if they somehow did, I wouldn't exactly be like completely floored by it. I'd be disappointed. I'd be maybe mildly surprised, but it wouldn't shock me. And then the offensive line. I don't know how good, and neither do you, as someone who played the position and then played elsewhere, how good Jordan Morgan's going to be at left tackle. I don't think it's a slam dunk. I think it could go either way on Aaron Banks. I don't think they're going to re-sign Sean Ryan. If they do, great, but I don't think so. And then Zach Tom, we all agree, is a fantastic player, but, man, he's dealt with some stuff now the last 2 years. So you better have somebody who can step in for him. And who is that person at this point? And then Anthony Belton, we all thought – and I'm not saying we did this with you as a rookie because you were a first-round pick, but we did it with Dave Bakhtiari for sure. Well, he played well for a rookie. Okay, that's good. But once you're no longer a rookie, well, you better play better than just, well, he played good for a rookie. So where do you look – when you look at the offensive personnel, what do you see and what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm nervous about the offensive line. That's where I'm nervous about. And we'll start with Zach Tom, and as good as we think he is, yeah, he's dealt with injuries, but coming back from a patella tendon surgery, I've said this to Homer and I've said this to as many people, I don't know much about this surgery and in the rehab time on it, and like I just don't know much about it, right? Like, and I'm assuming he got it done because you can't go on with a torn patella tendon. Like, I don't care who you are. There's no such thing as that. Or partially torn patella tendon. So I don't know the recovery time on that. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how you move after that. Like, I don't know anyone that's had that surgery to, like, compare to, right? Like,
right.
I don't know. So that's a big question mark in my mind. Like, and I love him as a player. So, like, I'm hoping that he recovers from it great and he's healthy, but even if he does recover great and he's healthy from it, what's the timetable on that? He said 6 months. I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, right. That's so
your area of expertise is ACL tears.
Yes. That's about as far as meniscus and ACLs. And like, that's like as far as I go with the knee. And then you look at the other positions. Yes. You hit the nail on the head with Belton. Yeah. You perform well as a rookie, but that can't be the standard. That can't be the standard of what it is going forward. It has to be much better going forward, in my opinion. And then the center position, completely up for grabs. No idea. Because, no, I've as good as I think Sean Ryan did in the short span that he had to rush, get ready to go play center, and do it in the most crunch time part of the season, I don't see them paying to keep him around to play center. I just don't see it. I thought Banks got better as the season went on, as he got healthy. But I even think if you were to ask him, he would say, I need to perform way better. I would think he would say that. Like, and that's not taking a shot at anyone. That's just being dead honest. Like we all know this, this is a money business, and you've said it, you know, money, how much money you get paid is a respect level and things like that. But it also, you look at it as your performance level. The more you get paid, the more expectations are that you perform at a very high level. And if you were to ask him, he would probably say, no, I need to be better. So, like, that's the next thing is, like, is he going to be able to raise his level? Obviously, stay healthy. Some of those things are out of your control when, you know, things happen. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
And then left tackle, we don't – it's probably going to be Jordan Morgan, but there's not enough videotape that we can watch that says that's going to be a slam dunk. We don't have that on film. I mean, and I get it. Like, it's different. When we didn't have any tape on you as right tackled. Yeah, I know. Believe me, it made me nervous too. But I went out and I played. I don't know how many games. I played how many games out there my rookie year, and I got better as time went on. But like, so like, I get that. But like, he's had multiple years now to win that job over. He didn't win the job over, and then the chances he did get out there, like the Minnesota game, didn't go well. Like, it didn't go as well. And then for how much he was bouncing around from guard to right tackle, back to guard, now out to left tackle, like, he hasn't had a chance to, like, settle into a spot. So now, here we go. This is probably going to be the chance he settles into left tackle. How does it go? I don't know. I hope it goes great, but we don't have anything to, like, feel great about that it is going to go great.
Nope.
Based on tape. So, like, a lot of questions there. And I get the tight end position. I'm not as worried about that. I'm not as concerned about the tight end position. And if they move on from Jacobs, I'm with you. I'll be disappointed because I love Josh Jacobs as a back. Everything I hear about him as a leader in the locker room, I love it. Like, there's not much to not like about Josh Jacobs. So if they do move on, yeah, I'll be disappointed. But there's another question then that arises is who's going to carry that load in the running back position? Are you going to draft someone? You don't have in the third round, you're going to hope you find gold. Fourth round, you're going to hope you find gold. There's just a lot of questions. And starts with the O-line, and then it would go to running back if Jacobs is not back.
A lot to look at as the offseason rolls on. And look, I saw Adam Stanovich is getting an interview for an offensive coordinator gig, so they could lose him. There's still some moving pieces. I know there's some fans, and I have said that it wouldn't be the worst thing to get some fresh ideas on offense either. Again, I don't know if you just bring back You've already got Luke Getsy and Nathaniel Hackett on your staff. If you just bring them back and make one of them the offensive coordinator, if Steno gets a job elsewhere, I don't know if that changes much. But there's going to be a lot of moving pieces. And there is every offseason, obviously. But it feels like there's, especially with potential staff changes, and maybe there aren't any. That's one thing we didn't get into, Brian, is whether or not the fact that we're sitting here on Monday, January 26th, and we haven't heard anything about existing staff changes and people being dismissed or leaving, that would indicate that the status quo is more likely than not. And I know there's a lot of fans that don't feel great about that idea either. But there's a lot of things we have to wait and see what happens here. But it's going to be an interesting offseason, as it frequently is. Speaking of interesting, I'm always interested in what Jesse's conjured up for Will Dietzhausch Trivia, presented by Cousin Subs and Iron Jock. Jesse, I assume it's the sports weekend recap like it is every Monday?
It is an eventful sports weekend, and the things going on around the sports world, the subject of today's trivia category.
Which caller would you like?
Caller number 16.
Caller 16 right now, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 16 plays trivia. Is that how many dollars you won on Prize Picks over the weekend, Jesse?
Not this weekend. No, I went 3 out of 4 twice, which normally would be good if I was doing the flex play. But because we had the discounted Sam Darnold 0.5 passing yards, I went a little riskier this week.
Uh-oh.
And I tried to go with the power play 4 for 4 on 2 different entries. So I was good. I had 6 out of 8 correct. But I had, because I had the power play selected, I was not a winner this weekend. But have done a lot of winning over the years with Prize Picks, as has Tausch. And no better time to get started than right now, because the big game is almost here. And it's honestly the best time of year to be watching sports. If you're looking for a way to stay locked in for every drive, every big play, you got to check out Prize Picks, where it always feels good to be right. Prize Picks, the easiest way to play daily fantasy. You can put together a lineup in under a minute, just pick more or less on at least 2 player projections, and suddenly every snap matters a little bit more. One thing that's really cool on the new Prize Picks is the social feeds feature. You can see what other people are playing, copy lineups from winners with one click, or follow Prize Picks partners and ride along with their picks. Maybe I should do more of that, because I haven't been so good lately myself. I should just follow what other people are doing. It might be better. It makes the whole experience way more fun, especially for a game like the big game coming up in a couple of weeks. And another great feature, early payouts. I should look at that too. If your lineup gets off to a fast start, you now have the option to cash out before the game even finishes. So don't miss out, especially with football winding down. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Code WI gets $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good
to be right, which Jesse wasn't over the weekend. Caller 16 plays trivia next. It's Will Dietzhausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Trivia presented by Cousin Subs and Iron Jock.
Wilde and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Cousin Subs. Cousin Subs' $10 deal meal gives you a 7.5-inch sub, bag of chips or regular fries, fountain drink, and a cookie, all for just $10. This deal is only available online or through the Cousins app. And Iron Jock, performance apparel that actually performs. No stink, just performance. And proudly Wisconsin built. Shop now at ironjock.com.
You know I love it when we have a first time contestant. And you know I also love it when we have contestants with cool names like Boomer. Now my concern, Athelstein? Is that am I saying that correctly?
Athelstein is oddly specifically where we go up north outside of Krivitz. So it's not a large
is
place.
It's a Krivitz suburb?
It is. I don't know Boomer. He's called in a few times, but when he said he was Boomer and Athelstein, at first I thought it was like my brother-in-law calling in under a pseudonym. It's not. I don't know Boomer, but we're going up this weekend, so our paths may cross.
Boomer, good morning. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
Good morning. Doing great. How are you guys?
I am great. I've got a buddy who grew up in Krivitz, my buddy Tyler, so... we love that region, not as much as Jesse does. And we wish you luck on the weekend recap trivia presented by Cousin Subs and Iron Jock. Question one is this, Boomer. Okay, Boomer. Which Green Bay Packers player attended the Wisconsin men's hockey game on Saturday night as the Badgers played host to his Penn State Nittany Lions at the Kohl Center? Was it Micah Parsons, Xavier McKinney, or Tyron Hattrick Hopper?
That would be the guy with the most juice to fire up the crowd, Micah Parsons.
I didn't know Tyron Hopper's nickname was Hattrick. I learned something new today.
Hattrick Hopper. You should call him next time you see him.
Wonder if Tyron knows that that's his nickname. All right, question two, Boomer.
He gets 3 sacks in a game, he'll be Hattrick Hopper.
You're on to something there. Question two, Boomer, is this. The Bucs game on Sunday night was postponed due to inclement weather. And I saw they donated all the food that was prepared for that game to local food banks.
That
was
nice.
Great.
Yeah.
That postponement prevented which opponent from being able to fly into Milwaukee for the game? Was that opponent the Memphis Grizzlies, the Denver Nuggets, or the Dallas Mavericks?
I say the Memphis Grizzlies.
You could say that, but you'd be wrong. The Dallas Mavericks were supposed to be the opponent. Jesse, do they make that up as a doubleheader the next time they play the Mavericks? How does that work?
It sounds like they're going to... That's not how that works. They are going to try and do it, I think, after the All-Star break is what I saw. Justin Garcia, our Bucks buddy, tweeted last night.
I feel good that I made you laugh with that. I was proud of that joke. All right, question three, Boomer. Let's bounce back. Which of these Seattle Seahawks players scored a touchdown in their NFC Championship game victory over the Los Angeles Rams? A victory that sent John Schneider, former Packers executive, to the Super Bowl against Elliott Wolf, former Packers executive, the GM of the Patriots, and meant that Davante Adams has still not made it to the Super Bowl after the Rams lost.
0-5, Davante is an NFC Championship game.
That's rough. Which Seattle Seahawks player scored a touchdown of these three, Boomer? Was it Jake Bobo, Rashid Shaheed, or George Holani?
Bobo.
Boom, boom. Bobo is correct. Well done. Dude caught 4 passes all season, but a big-time touchdown for the Seahawks yesterday. All right, Boomer. Jesse wants to know what you got planned this weekend. He'd like to get together.
Newt Fest this weekend. We're coming up.
What fest?
Newt Fest on Newton Lake. They got like snowmobile races and a meat raffle at the bar. All kinds of stuff going on. Live band.
Wow. Okay.
Big weekend.
Try to meet you up for the meat raffle, Jesse.
All right.
There you go.
We'll see you there. Lakeside, 2:30 Saturday. That's the place to be.
Boomer, we wish you luck in the meat raffle. We also wish you luck in the drawing. You've got 3 of the possible 4 entries on Friday. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks. Love you guys.
I love you guys.
All right. That is Wilde and Tausch Trivia presented by Cousin Subs and Iron Jock.
Bulaga seemed unimpressed by coordinating the plans.
Brian's got
Boomer
a lot of... Hey, he's got other stuff going on. Okay? He gets that segment off. He works hard when he's here.
See, I got plans for the weekend. Newt Fest.
All right. Well, you also
sounds fun.
Yeah, sounds great. Fun. Brian's on his way. He'll meet you up there.
Yeah.
No. Wait for him outside the meat raffle, and if he's not there right at the start, just wait longer.
Oh, sure, okay. Yes. I'll wait outside so wait. You see me. Yeah.
Jesse's got an audio edition of Whoa Nelly. I'm eager to hear what he's got. That's next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
You know what that music means?
It means we don't have to pay for it.
Time now for Whoa Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Sirocco's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa Nelly
on Wilde and Tausch.
As the reactions began to pour in on Saturday and Sunday to Mike McCarthy being hired as the new head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, one of the strongest reactions that I saw was from Myron Medcalf, who has made appearances on ESPN Wisconsin. He hosts the Sunday Morning National Show on ESPN Radio. I think Tausch has been on with him a few times. I think he's originally from Wisconsin,
he is.
From Milwaukee.
I think he's a Milwaukee guy. Yep.
And he covers the Big Ten a lot for a college football writer for ESPN.com and whatnot. So he weighed in on the Mike McCarthy hire for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Eager to hear your reactions to this.
He's not a guy who really adds a lot to anything. He has Dak Prescott in the prime of his career. He has a defense that is incredible. He has an offensive line that's one of the best in the leagues. And Dallas does what in the postseason? He has Aaron Rodgers when Aaron Rodgers is playing at the Manning Brady level. I'm not saying he's Brady, but he was talked about in that sort of hierarchy. He was one of the best in the league. They won a Super Bowl. And then what happens after that? So to me, if you're going to fire Mike Tomlin, or Mike Tomlin steps down because he's not getting the job done in the postseason, what can Mike McCarthy tell you that would convince you that he's going to elevate this team in the postseason when it matters most? That's not who he is. He's a regular season success story who takes the Uber home in the postseason and doesn't help your franchise win. It's a terrible move.
Terrible move, says
takes
Myron Medcalf.
Takes the Uber home.
Yeah. That's as strong as I've heard anybody be anti-Mike McCarthy to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Since we were all sunshine and rainbow say this was such a great hire, what do you make of that commentary on the other side of the argument?
I make nothing of it. Come on. I'm not sure he fully grasps. Look, they definitely did not win enough Super Bowls with Aaron Rodgers. Brian Bulaga would agree with that. But takes the Uber home in the postseason. They reached four NFC championship games during his tenure. Like, that's not just mailing it in the postseason. And come on. Brian, I'm done with this.
Yep. I'm there with you. I don't understand that. So then I guess what does he say about Mike Tomlin?
Right.
What's his opinion about Mike Tomlin? What's his opinion about Harbaugh? Like, I mean, then give those opinions too. Make sure that you apply additional information to, you know, who you think then should have gotten the job and why they should have gotten the job and what is their credentials to get the job. Like, if you're just gonna dump on McCarthy and say that, like, well, then at least provide who you believe is the solution and why is the solution and the credentials to back that solution. So that's really all I got to say about it.
Should have hired Jim Harbaugh or John Harbaugh or Harbaugh. Some Harbaugh.
Any Harbaugh.
On the other side, Chris Canty this morning on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, also weighing in on the McCarthy hire.
I understand how you can feel like it's not a swing for the fences home run move, but you didn't need a home run move. You need a base hit. You're trying to figure out what the next quarterback is going to look like. You need somebody that can identify him. You need somebody that can develop him. It's not something that the Pittsburgh Steelers have done well, right? They got Ben Roethlisberger. They rolled that till the wheels fell off and haven't been able to find anything since. Mike McCarthy will help you. If nothing else, he will help you identify and develop the next quarterback, whether he's already in the building or whether you got to acquire him. McCarthy can find him. McCarthy can get the best out of him. That's the win for you if you're a Steelers fan.
Shaking your head more in agreement on that one, I see.
Yeah. Hey, look, it's not a sexy hire. Mike McCarthy, and I think even Mike McCarthy would say this, is not sexy. He's not too sexy for this job. Too sexy for this job.
Very, very, very frustrating.
But I'll tell you this. He's going to start the building process of your program, which that organization needs a rebuild. And he will start that. And maybe some other young coach 4 years from now will benefit from it. But I don't think it's an atrocious hire, and that's regardless of how I feel about Mike.
I agree. You don't need to ask my opinion. I agree.
You were eager for the audio edition of Whoa, Nelly.
Yeah, not anymore.
I feel like you were just got irritated by the audio.
No, it did not. That's not your fault.
I don't know what you like around here anymore with Whoa, Nelly.
Yeah. I like the fact that it's over. That is it for Whoa, Nelly. We'll wrap things up next.
Kind of mean.
Twildy and Tausch.
We're on the Packers.
It's never been about beating the Bears or the Vikings. It's about winning a championship.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
There is an intensity deficit, and there won't be now.
Great.
Those days are gone.
You're listening to 100.5 ESPN.
Wrapping up on Wildy and Tausch with our cousin sub, Brian Bulaga. Before we say goodbye to Brian, and we'll talk to him again on Wednesday, just want to say something on a personal note. Our girls, Madison and Sydney, did not hit the grandfather lottery. Paula's dad was a lifelong alcoholic who was never in their lives. My dad chose not to be in their lives, and so they didn't have the cool grandpa for a lot of their time. And Paula's mom was with someone for nearly 20 years. His name was Roger. And he passed away over the weekend, which was pretty emotional for the girls because he took on that role. And we were really lucky to have him as part of our family. And, you know, everyone loves grandpas, right? Grandpas are awesome. And when you don't get to have that, you're missing out as a kid. I remember going through a similar thing with my grandparents in it. And I like to make sure that Paul and I always say it ends with us, and we make sure that things are different for our girls. But we were really lucky to have Roger as part of their lives, and we were really thankful for him, and we're going to miss him. And I know he listened to the show. Big podcast guy, Roger was, when he was driving around his Corvette. So we thank him for the difference he made in our girls' lives, and we're going to miss him. So
sounds like a guy with some style.
Yeah, much more stylish than me, and Lord knows I wasn't able to drive a stick, so I never got to take it for a spin. So thank you for the opportunity to say that. I did want to say it. Brian, I got to say this to you. We are so lucky to have you on our team, man. And anytime Tausch is out, you always step in if you possibly can, and we're always smarter for it. You're the best, buddy. Thanks a lot. Thanks for filling in today.
I appreciate it. I mean, even though Jesse gives me a hard time every time I come on here, I love doing it. It's a lot of fun. But Jesse, as always, thank you for tolerating me for the last 3 hours. I'm sorry to interrupt your daily programming.
We'll see if we can get Bakhtiari next time.
Yeah, I know. Oh,
better have the dump button ready, that's for sure. That is it for us today. Tausch is back tomorrow. Thanks again to Brian, and thanks to you for coming along for the ride with us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.